It is time for Super Toss Talk. Yeah, you hear him in the background. There's Scotty Kaplan. George Sinano's here. What's going on, boys?
Yo.
We're good. By the way, John, I just want to say one thing to you.
Yes.
All right. Actually, one thing to say to you, and then one thing to say to Bergman.
Okay.
I thought your interview, I heard the Damian Jones one, I only caught a little bit of the Juan Toscano-Anderson, was very good. Now, clearly, Steve Mason is the one holding you back in this regard.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me that, which was interesting.
And Bergman, in that regard, just in specifically towards Ireland, suck it, Bergman.
Why? Bergman's good.
Or maybe it just, you know, it lit a fire under him.
It did light a fire. You know what? That is true, Bergman.
Your energy was high in those interviews, Ireland.
John, I hadn't heard you with that kind of energy during an interview in a long time.
Well, that's because we haven't had an interview, George, in 6 months.
Now, we have a producer who doesn't book any guests. Michael is right. I did catch when Michael joined the show. You guys do a little softball occasionally. There is that.
I will say it before, and this is exactly the way it should be. If you put George Sinano, John Ireland, and Steve Mason on a lie detector, all three of us would say we're the better interviewer than the other two, and that's exactly how it should be.
Right, but at least you and I would have a real shot, apparently.
Now, George and Cap, I wanted to get your opinion on a story we all commented on earlier. Now, Kyler Murray, I don't know if you guys heard this.
I heard this.
Clinton and Michael disagreed.
Yates has no standards.
No, now, Kyler Murray gets his hair done by a woman named Swanee.
Yeah.
And so Swanee is an opinionated woman, and she went on a podcast the other day and explained why she doesn't cut Kyler Murray's hair anymore.
Braid his hair.
Yeah, and I want you guys to tell me if you're on Team Kyler or Team Swanee. Here we go.
I also did Kyler Murray's hair.
Stop back for a second. You did Kyler's hair?
I did.
How was Kyler?
He actually told me don't tell nobody, but I didn't sign an NDA, so I'm going to say what the hell I want to say. Kyler, I did his hair, and I thought he was so cool. I did his hair. I was honored to do his hair. It's f***ing Kyler Murray. Like, hello. I noticed immediately that he's very entitled. I'm a strong black woman, so this is going to be a very interesting relationship. When I'm doing your hair, we're dating. A lot of us are married, and some of us break up. Me and Kyler broke up.
When you say you broke up, what do you mean by that?
We broke up because I felt disrespected. He DM'd me immediately and I responded back and I'm like, hey, yeah, I can do your hair, whatever. So I did his hair. But then, you know, we would have little moments where we're clashed. One of the moments was he made a comment about the shade room and how black girls run it and how they can be messy. And I'm like, hello, I'm a black woman. Like, calm yourself. So then one day he calls me and he's like, hey, Swanee, when you come on Thursday, can you wear pants? I don't want to wear pants. I want to wear what I wear. Why do I have to wear pants? If you can control your eyes, that's one thing. And if your girlfriend's insecure, that's her problem. I'm 29 years old. You're, 22? I'm a mom of 4. I work out every day. I service you whenever you want. One braid is out of place and I come and fix it for you. And you want me to wear pants? You could f*** off. I didn't say f*** off, but I said, you got me f***ed up. Your appointment's canceled on Thursday. Excuse me? I'm like, your appointment's canceled. Well, can you not tell the team about this? Oh, I'm telling the whole f***ing team about this.
All right, Cap. He wanted her to wear pants. She is a grown woman who doesn't want to wear pants. She doesn't want to follow a dress code. She wants to wear what she wants. Scott Kaplan, who's right?
Who's the customer?
Kyler.
Kyler Murray.
Done. And she's in his house.
Right. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter that she's 29 and has 4 kids and that she's a professional woman and he's a 22-year-old entitled little punk, according to her. Regardless, he's the customer. And whether it's because he can't control his eyes or his girlfriend's upset or his mom lives with him and she says that girl's inappropriate when she comes here, do you want the business or do you not want the business? I'm asking you to just do me one favor. Listen, put it this way. If I had a massage therapist come over to my house and she's wearing tiny little short shorts, I would be like, oh, that's cool. That's a great look. Wear that every time. But if my girlfriend said, hey, I don't like that, then I might say to her, hey, could you mind doing me a favor? Would you, when you come over, I know you like those little short shorts, but can you just put on something that's a little less revealing? Because let me ask you a quick question. Go ahead, Clinton.
You know how it says when you walk into an establishment, oftentimes if the establishment is a very busy place, there is a sign that will say, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone." That is what this woman is flexing in this particular situation, and I don't think there's anything wrong with
George
that.
George Sinano, what say you?
Honestly, I don't have an issue with either of them, to be frank with you. Like, if he wants
to stop straddling the fence.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't straddle the fence much, but in this situation, like, I can understand Kyler Murray in light of everything that's transpiring, particularly with another quarterback in the NFL right now.
Exactly.
I would venture to guess that that position is probably the smart position to take, to not have any potential issues or run-ins down the road. And you know, maybe it's not that he has a jealous girlfriend or whatever. So I guess if I were leaning in a direction, I would lean in Kyler's, but she is absolutely in her right as well to be like, all right, bro, I'm out. See you later.
Let me ask you this. Sorry, quickly, because I this is a question that I brought up with Ireland as well, which is, do you think that he said don't tell the team because he might have ruined her skills for the rest of the team, not because he was actually concerned about her airing him out in public? Like, why would you say that if you didn't really care that much either way? I feel like she said she praised the whole team, right? And if he's the one who's messing it up with her as the leader, do you think there's a possibility that he did not want that to get back to the rest of the team because they would be upset with him for getting rid of the best breeder they have?
By the way, I love Jonathan Watson, who is one of the biggest super fans of 710 ESPN. He just wrote to me, judging by Swanee's IG, sounds like Kyler Murray's girlfriend got a little jealous. I mean, look at Swanee. You can understand.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, George. I think you bring up a really good point, though. Like, given everything that's happened with Deshaun Watson, why would you not say, hey, look, I can't even have you wearing that around me? Because, look, I'll give you guys an example. When Robert Kraft got busted in a massage parlor,
yeah,
a lot of guys stopped going to massage parlors.
Laura, from
massages
a woman's standpoint,
are not... She just put a bite of food in her mouth, and then you bring Laura into it.
But from a woman's standpoint, if she's inappropriately dressed and the guy's girlfriend, wife...
Wait, but inappropriately dressed
is...
Obviously
she is. So Laura,
well, she wore something that made him uncomfortable.
Wasn't Kyler right to say we put on something less revealing?
Okay, two things here. I think they're both right, and it's not that I'm on the fence, but because as a person who's like, hey, you're going to be very close to me, I want to feel comfortable, I need you to put... I hate when men tell women what to wear, but in this case, I understand why he said it. It has nothing to do with the girlfriend. It's about him and his position and where he's at. I also understand where she's at, where it's like, yo, this is how I feel comfortable doing my work, because it's not something that is easy, right? It's very intricate, and they want to be comfortable and able to move. But it's like, girl, wear yoga pants, wear sweats, like wear something that you're going to that's covering, but it's still comfortable.
Cap, the blocking of actual braiding is something that's important here. When you get your hair braided, you have to sit in between somebody's legs, like literally. And so I think
how long does it take roughly?
At least 3 hours, depending on how much you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I've never done it personally, but clearly, I worked very closely with someone here who did in LZ for many years. He used to get his braids locked, or his locks done. I'm sorry. And so, yeah, LZ, whenever LZ had to go to the salon to get his hair done, it would be a 4-hour affair or longer.
And I've been to LZ's salon. They have chairs there. It's a whole thing. But when you're in somebody's house you're sitting between somebody, you're sitting in somebody's lap, basically. Yeah. So I understand why he could say that, but I can also understand why, Scott, I don't know how familiar you are with braiding. You are touching that person on multiple connectivity points for many hours.
Hey, let me ask you guys all a question just about this general topic. Since the Me Too movement, have you been less direct with women?
Complimentary?
Because I have.
Complimentary, you mean?
Yeah.
You have?
Like I used to always comment to Amanda. Amanda has like really fun pants.
Okay.
And that she wears sometimes. And I would say, hey, love your pants. Now I'll only say it to her if it's just me and her. Because I don't want to be walking down the hallway.
You could say to someone, you look nice. Like, I saw Laura and Lindsay at the Manny's. He's like, oh, wow, you guys look really nice.
Yeah, everybody looked great at the Manny's. But what I'm saying, George, is like, I specifically like, if I'm walking down the hallway and I say to Amanda, hey, cool pants. And somebody else will just use Laura because you're here.
Okay.
If you're in the hallway, Laura, and I don't say anything about your pants, I worry that you'll get upset I didn't comment on your outfit.
No, that's
so now I don't say anything unless I'm one-on-one with the girl.
I don't think that has anything with me too. I think that that's just insecurities potentially by other people. But what I would say is, look, as long as you don't like sound lecherous like Cappy did with Laura's boyfriend.
Oh my god.
Come on,
that
Michael,
was a disaster.
Have you heard this?
Come on, Clinton.
Your boyfriend was very handsome.
I wasn't just listening.
My boyfriend is very handsome.
I wasn't just listening. I was standing right in front of you.
So what did Cap say?
Have you seen those cartoons where like the wolf, like their mouth drops and they start drooling?
I think we should let Cap tell the story. Cap, what's your version of this story?
And then we'll play the audio.
Michael, this is a great exaggeration. Michael, let me explain to you what happened. I met Laura's boo for the first time. This was the day of the Mandy's.
Red carpet Mandy's.
Right. And Clinton, George, me, and Beto Duran.
And Lindsay.
Yes, but we were all on the air at this exact moment. Yes, and Lindsay was there.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So now here comes Laura walking up with her boo. Now, this is the first time I've had a chance to meet this young man. And I'd heard that he's a handsome guy. So as he was standing there in front of me, Michael, I was checking him out.
Yeah.
Head to toe.
So I'm going to pantomime what Kaplan was doing just while you talk.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go
oh,
ahead.
My God.
Please.
Given the up down? Cap was doing the up down?
Do we have the audio?
We do.
All right. Okay, no, Laura actually has audio. Okay.
Right, let Michael judge this.
Let's hear.
All right, Michael, hear this.
To the people who know how hard you're going.
Look at this superstar that just arrived.
That's what you need.
Wow.
You know, Laura just pulled up. What's going on?
Your girl did her hair.
Is this TiVo? I'm Scott. Oh. Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah. Hey, man. He doesn't want to be known, bro.
Yeah, what are we doing? He's just
remember, he gets hidden on Instagram. He doesn't want to be known. Why you got to put
Why don't you have an emoji on?
I was going to say. You should have brought him an emoji mask. Yeah,
that's funny.
I'm taking a look at this guy right here. Yeah. Good looking.
What are you, sizing him up? Yeah what's going on here?
You're so creepy. God's out here up down.
Why are you so creepy?
We have with everybody.
We haven't even started the red carpet show.
So what are you wearing?
Scott, you might be off the broadcast for the 360 cam.
Yeah, yank.
This is how you're going to be treating guests. We can't have that. We can't have that.
Smell delicious.
Hey, he does, right?
Smells great, right?
That's got to be like cool water.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's not
using words like delicious to describe somebody.
What is that, cool water?
Not problematic
at all.
Why
are you such a creepy person?
Why?
He wasn't, by the way.
I mean, you were like in a trance right now.
I was going to say, he couldn't even hear the question because he's too busy focused on what's going on in front of him.
Well, I really like what this gentleman is wearing.
Yeah.
I like his ring.
Yeah.
I like his hair.
Yeah.
Like his eyes.
Yeah.
He's got,
what else?
Wow.
Good looking
guy.
Is
this for real?
Good looking guy.
Absolute member of the Handsome Man community.
Okay, so yes. Michael, I didn't think that was bad.
No, the visual, if you were there, the level of old
Michael, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Have you ever described another person, okay, that isn't your wife as delicious?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Oh yeah, like who?
Yeah, normally he reserves that for the Rock.
Every time I
or Rick Fox.
Every time I see the Rock or Rick Fox or Cristiano Ronaldo, I drool over. I'm sure. I wish I looked like that.
Okay.
You know, I said Chris Paul has pretty eyes. What's wrong with that?
All right. What is wrong with that?
Yeah.
What's with you guys?
Nothing wrong with admiring a good-looking guy.
Kevin, no, I was not bothered by anything you said.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And by the way, Beto Duran agreed with the deliciousness.
Guy. It has everything to do with the way how lecherous Scott Kaplan is.
Yes, it was a tonality situation.
Oh, when I look at the Rock, believe me, I drool too. So, I wish I looked like that. Oh, so I can understand where Cap's coming from.
Me too.
So, Michael, I have a weird question. Yeah. If Winning Time continues into the 80s,
yep.
Are you going to be offended if they don't hire a really good-looking guy to play you?
Yeah, it's got to be good-looking guy. It's got to be a Rock, Rick Fox type of guy.
Couldn't Trace do it? Couldn't Trace play you if it was like not in baseball season?
No, he looks too white.
Fair enough.
He is. Yes.
Fair
enough.
Good question. That's for
Michael
sure.
could do it. He's my color.
Yeah.
He's light skin like
or
me.
Andy, your brother Andy looks like you a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, have you reached out to Key about another light skin championship?
That's right. Remember, Key used to talk all the time about how light skin guys were soft.
Right.
I said no, man, because light skin guys ain't soft.
Yeah. Steph and Clay have won both four titles.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. Key used to kill us about that.
My kind of content.
But Cap. I thought how you were complimenting and admiring Laura's boyfriend was within bounds. There wasn't nothing creepy about it at all.
It's hard to describe the trance he
Thank
was
you.
In, though.
That's
what's difficult. The way he was looking at him. I've never seen Scott look at anybody like this. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just had to look up the word lecherous that George has used here a couple of times.
Maybe Cap just wanted to increase the people going to the post party.
It was.
Laura, do you look at your boyfriend the way Cap was looking at
him? Oh, I look at him way
worse. Well, okay. Well, so the clip. Let me just explain this quickly. The clip got cut off before Laura put herself in between the two of them physically to separate them because Scott kept encroaching into the area. That actually happened.
Should have told you, see, you two guys get a room or something.
By the way, Michael, Laura at the Mandy's, hot.
Oh, yeah, we all,
everybody
lady.
Got a dog. Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
You looked fantastic at the Mandy's.
So
I'm having all this Me Too talk and being worried about saying something to women. Like, all of a sudden, hot?
No, yeah, but, like, hot.
I thought
Laura,
everybody looked good.
Yeah,
everybody looked good. So did you, Cap.
Thanks. Hey, listen, it was a great time. I can't believe it's already been, like, this Friday will be a full 2 weeks, right? Or is it 3 weeks already?
I think
it'll
be 2.
Are you going to talk about the Mandy's like Al Bundy does?
Wait.
By the way, George, I can bring this full circle. Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Starring as Donald Sterling and Ramona's Killing.
I know. That's right. Yeah, Ramona. Well, I know originally, it's funny, when we were talking about this, Ramona and I, you know, a long time ago now, I said, you got to get Tommy Lee Jones. But apparently Tommy Lee Jones was like, eh.
Yeah, it's not going to work. You know why, Sedano? Because every time I'll still see Al Bundy.
He's known to a whole generation of people. It's the guy from Modern Family.
Modern Family.
He had another 10-year run on a show.
But Tommy Lee Jones would have been the guy for sure.
Yeah, that would have worked.
I think they talked to him. I think they tried to get him.
They did. Ramona said they did, but he turned it in.
Well, just get Denzel. He could play any part.
Hey, Denzel can play Donald Sterling?
He's so good he could pull it off.
They do a lot with makeup these days, George.
All right, so if you're going to...
By the way, I would say Denzel has kind of creeped into this... I know people are going to get mad when I say this. Him and Tom Cruise have creeped into this category of they basically play the same person in every movie.
That's a good thing.
Ooh, I can see why you went crazy over this guy. Laura just sent me a picture of him.
How about the nose ring, the earring? Yeah. He smells delicious. The hair, the eyes, the clothes.
Well, he'd be on Team Lightskin, Michael.
Definitely. Yeah, Key wouldn't like him.
Key was nice to him.
Even though he was light-skinned?
Yeah, he was nice.
All right, if you're going to the Dodger game tonight, keep an eye out for Michael Thompson. He'll be the one pacing the concourse.
Oh, are you
going
to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go up here.
Wow, wait a second. This is like a monumental moment. You're actually going to go to the Dodgers?
Yeah, because I'm already up here. I wouldn't drive.
Have you been to a game since Trace was on the Dodgers the last time?
Too far to drive.
Yeah,
he's even wearing a Dodgers shirt.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, your son tried to call me a jinx, and clearly I wasn't. Your son, Clay.
Right.
You ended up winning the championship. Now, if you show up, I mean, Trace has been on a tear, particularly with runners in scoring position. If you show up and he goes 0-for, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, banned.
Right. That'd be a good excuse.
Trace already told him he can't wear a Trace Thompson jersey at the game because it's too corny.
That's right.
It is. It is a little corny. But Michael, I mean, where will you be during this game? Are you literally just out in the stands somewhere, or you got something good going on?
I have a seat, but I sit in the handicap section. As long as no handicap people are sitting there, I sit in the handicap because there's more leg room, because I can't fit in those seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so Michael will be at the Dodger game. Sedano and Cap are coming up next. CY, thank you.
No problem. We'll see if I'm here tomorrow. Toss up.
I just got a text from Mason. Fredo is being discharged tonight.
Okay, very well.
Tolerated medicines well, breathing better, heart now working. I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm still doing TV tomorrow, so if that changes,
okay,
I'll be here.
We may look you up. All right, Sedano and Cap coming up, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, yeah.
Bum, bow, bam, bam, bam.
Bee, come on, Greg.
Yeah, come on, Bergie.
I'm happy
Greg
to do
is
it.
Scared. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Oh, there he goes. Bee, ba-da-bum. Bee, ba-da-boop. Ba-dum, boom, ba.
Boom, ba-dum,
come on, Berg. Try a drum solo.
Bee, ba-da-boop. You didn't get to growl today.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, I heard Clinton start to growl, and then Ireland went straight into Damian Jones.
Right to it.
Can we clip that? Because it's actually kind of funny. I heard the beginning of the show, and this music starts, and Clinton goes, and then John's like, let's welcome in Damian Jones.
I'm not allowed to say that it was a good interview because he would say that I would be patronizing him.
Oh, I thought he was really? Well, his energy was fantastic.
It was great.
And the little anecdote he had about 16 for 17 or whatever it was. That was good.
I felt bad for Clinton, though, today, because now Mace is out and he's got a real life situation he's got to deal with. In comes Clinton Yates. Now, all of a sudden, here come all these interviews, which are normally off limits, and all the controversy of they don't ask good questions anymore. I mean, Clinton found himself in a very precarious position earlier today.
He did, but I thought Clinton asked some good questions, too.
Well, Clinton is a good interviewer.
He is a very good interviewer.
Here's what I will say.
Don't do it, Cap.
Everybody other than Mason in Ireland, apparently.
Say nothing.
Today on the show, in about 15 minutes, we're going to have Martin Jarman, who is the AD at UCLA.
You got now, a lot Bergman, of good questions
like it's
already planned?
I feel like it's a perfect day for you to be filling in for Lindsay because you're the UCLA guy.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you some stuff before Martin came on, and I do want to get into the Dodgers and stuff today too, so it's good that you're here because I wanted to ask you some questions. But I do think there's another reason we're having Ariel Helwani on as well to talk MMA at 5:15. But also, Ariel Helwani, on his very popular MMA podcast called The MMA Hour, you can hear him. He goes into character occasionally, Cappy, kind of like you and me when we do role play.
Oh, like what? Does he become LeBron or Genie?
No. He has a character he calls Ariel Helwani, as in like a wrestling heel.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to play the cuts from Bergman of what he said on our show, how he was somewhat of a coward on Mason in Ireland. And I think there's another cut in there somewhere, but I want to play them for Ariel because I want Ariel to toughen Greg up, basically.
You know, I'm going to say absolutely nothing on this show.
Why?
Because I got myself into a lot of trouble by talking on this show.
No. You were just being honest.
I feel like you as a heel on Mason Ireland would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So I thought about going full heel, and then I thought about getting along with them every day, and I decided to get along with them every day.
Really?
Okay, well, Ariel's going to teach you how to be a heel.
Oh, good. You know what? If he could teach me and I could be better at it, maybe I'll do it. We'll see.
There you go. So yeah. We'll have Ariel to talk a little MMA, but really it's more about teaching Greg how to be a heel.
I like
so
it.
That was so that was the thought on bringing Ariel on. But as far as bringing Martin on, which is coming up,
yeah,
have you come up with a whole bunch of fun and witty kinds of questions, or is this going to be like a real interview about?
Well,
you know,
I think we can. I mean, generally we have a lot of fun with him, but I think today people want to know like what the hell happened and how this all happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think you have. I mean, I'm not saying we can't come up with stuff. Like, for example, mm-hmm. I saw Josh Hart tweeted last night, ranch over blue cheese. Like, I love – there was a reason I like Josh Hart as a player. Now I know there's a reason why I like Josh Hart as a player. Because
Which
the
is,
answer is ranch.
Hell yeah. There's only one right answer here. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we could ask Martin what he thinks, ranch or blue cheese.
So know? Why is there only one right answer? I don't get it.
I mean, do you like – I mean, I'm okay with blue cheese, but too much gives me a headache.
Okay. Well, headache, really. It doesn't give you a stomach ache. It gives you a headache.
No, a little bit of a headache. It's a little too strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you're eating – I think, to determine the answer to the question.
Nah.
Ranch or blue cheese.
I mean,
don't
if you're eating chicken wings, what do you want?
No.
Okay, all right, chicken wings, for example. My preference, blue cheese.
Oh, come on.
God, Kaplan.
Now, on the other hand, if I'm eating pizza and I get down to the crust, my preference is ranch.
Mm.
I want to dip a little crust in ranch.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. You go to a restaurant, you get a wedge salad, big old chunk of salad,
ranch.
Bacon on it. You want ranch rather than blue
ranch.
Cheese?
Yeah.
Ranch.
Ranch.
Right, see, I'm going with the blue cheese.
No, Cappy. See, you were out of the sus category. You're back in the sus category.
Sus category over blue cheese?
Yeah, you're back.
Really?
Yep.
Wait, blue cheese?
I just kicked you back in there.
You ever have a steak with blue cheese over the top of it?
No.
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 Really?
No.
Huh. Okay.
See?
Well, this is not a salad dressing conversation. It's a much deeper, more entailed sort of a deal. Chicken wings on the bone, I want blue cheese.
Ew.
Now, chicken wings that are boneless, I may prefer ranch.
Mm.
See, to me, this is not a black
boneless?
And white issue. Mm. This is not a, I'm on this side, but I'm not on that side. I'm on both sides. I'm on team ranch and team blue cheese.
I mean, is boneless even really a real wing?
Thank you. That's
no,
what,
it's
that's,
not a real
no.
wing. Not okay. a real wing.
Okay.
Chicken
it's
tender.
It's a
right.
chicken nugget,
yes.
right, that's
yeah.
drowned in you know, sauce.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we can agree on that.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
But really, like the blue cheese versus ranch debate, it's really that black and white that I go on the sus list.
Yeah, man. For me, it is. It's like the whole bone in, bone out. Mm-mm, just nope. Sus.
That's sus, huh?
It's sus, bro.
Well, okay. I guess for now, I will deal with the fact that I have been put back on the sus list.
I'm sure you'll get out, but for now, you're in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you're back.
I'm in.
Bergman,
yes.
Are you happy, sad, confused, all of the above about UCLA moving to the Big Ten?
No, I'm happy about them moving to the Big Ten.
Okay.
I thought the Pac-12 was a disaster all the way around. The biggest thing that was going for the Pac-12 when it came to football was Pac-12 After Dark.
Oh, it was so much fun.
It was fun. Like, there was high-scoring games, and that was great. But at the same time, it was on at, like, 8 o'clock at night. So that means that the entire East Coast was asleep already.
Yeah,
it doesn't get to see anything.
It's called After Dark.
Right. Well, exactly. But most people aren't staying up for it. You got no love whatsoever. You lose one game in the Pac-12. That's it. You're done. It's over.
That's true.
So
that's true. There's no fighting out of that.
No. So as soon as you got, now that they're in the Big Ten, there's going to be money that's involved that you get along there. You get to go have a better TV deal where I'll be able to watch the games and not have to find my way into the Pac-12 network that doesn't exist anywhere else. I love it. I think this is a great movie.
The Pac-12 is so screwed now.
Oh, there is no Pac-12 anymore.
I mean, it's over.
It's the Big West.
Yeah.
It's the whack.
Wow.
You see, wow. The thing is this though. You still have name brands.
Really?
Yeah, you do. I mean,
Oregon is going to leave. No, Washington's going to leave.
But hold on. Yeah. Hold on. That's not what the Pac-12 is today. I agree with you. Oregon is an attractive commodity that somebody will pick off. Washington is very attractive. I've told George this for days. I believe that Cal and Stanford will eventually be invited into some form of the Big Ten because I think you want Northern California as well as Southern California. Which is why, by the way, all this conversation about negotiating television rights deals with ESPN and Fox. If I'm ESPN and Fox, I'm saying to the Pac-12 commissioner, so wait a second. Who are you today? Who are you going to be? And why am I going to invest that kind of money today when I don't know what you're going to be tomorrow? So, you know, you say that they're the Big West, but as long as they've got Washington and Oregon and Stanford and Cal for now, they're still big time. They're just only Pac-12 big time, which is not even close to Big Ten big time.
No, but now if you're the Pac-12 and you have those teams, you have Oregon, you have Washington, Stanford, and Cal, they're playing nobody, so they're not going to get any respect whatsoever. If you lost if you had UCLA and USC and you still weren't getting that much respect, now that they aren't there anymore, they're going to get even less respect.
Yeah,
no
I agree
argument.
With Greg.
No argument. Yeah. I agree. But the question is if you are Oregon, Washington, Stanford, Cal, you know, what is it you want to do? Because, you know, you've heard all the rumors by now that Arizona State and, you know, a bunch of others may jump ship and go somewhere else. Well, everybody's trying to figure out what's going on because I don't know. Maybe Martin will be able to tell us this when he comes on. Do you guys think that this shocked everybody else other than USC and UCLA? In other words, those two schools knew what they were doing. But do you think that nobody else in the Pac-12 was like, hey, have you heard?
No, they were stunned, according to the Pac-12 commissioner call.
Well, with that being said, I mean, these guys were caught with their pants down.
Yeah.
And that's just all there is to it, right?
Yeah.
And so now, if your school's like Stanford and Cal, you're like, hey, what happened? Where's the California brotherly love here, man? What happened? But USC and UCLA, ultimately, some people might think of it as being selfish, but you know what? They did what they needed to do for their schools and for their athletic departments. Because I'm sure you guys have read by now where Martin has said, all of these Olympic sports essentially were saved by this move.
Right.
Because if UCLA had not jumped ship to the Big Ten, it is conceivable that sports that are not what are not big money making sports, they might have gotten cut like other schools have done.
Right.
So it's obviously a monster deal, okay? But I don't know what's going to happen next. I just think Stanford and Cal have to be the next two schools that the Big Ten goes after.
But why would they go after them? I don't
know. No, I think they got to try to get Notre Dame to buy themselves out of the ACC. That's what I would do.
Agreed. Yeah.
You don't think Stanford and Cal are an attractive commodity?
Not really. Like,
you don't think the San Francisco television market
is
attractive?
That for college football, like, I don't think. Yeah.
You don't think so, huh?
No, it's not a bastion of...
Notre Dame is a much bigger brand.
Oh, listen, I'm not arguing against Notre Dame. I mean, listen, if you can get Notre Dame, you get them. I mean, the ACC was so desperate to just use Notre Dame's name that they were willing to accept them in other sports and say, okay, you can have your football deal and be independent over here. We'll take you in all the other sports. We just want to be in business with Notre Dame. So I get the Notre Dame part of it. But Stanford in particular, if I'm the Big Ten, I'm like, I want a school like Stanford with their programs and their reputation. I want those guys in our conference.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's ask Martin next. And I'm sure we'll ask him ranch or blue cheese. I'd love to get his thoughts on this as well. So all those things and who knows what else we'll ask him. All coming up in about 2 minutes or so. Oh, there we go, Cappy.
Tell me this is my band. Tell me this is my jam right here.
Yeah.
Is this the Dead Meow 5?
Yes, it is the Dead Meow 5.
Yeah. That's what it is.
You know, the Dead Meow 5 has inspired its own now Twitter handle. I don't know who the person is, but somebody's got a Dead Meow 5 Twitter handle.
Chuck Taylor.
Who is that?
I think his name is Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor started a new one?
No, he just changed it.
Oh, he changed his.
He changed.
No, he changed the name. Like, it's not his actual handle, I believe. It's just like the name that shows.
No, no, he
Twitter.
Changed his handle.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
To the Dead Meow 5?
Yep. In honor of Cappy's
Cappy's knowledge of popular music.
I was going to say mistake, but yeah, knowledge of popular music sounds better.
The Dead Meow 5, they rock. They work really nicely with Cascade,
yeah.
as I recall.
Yeah.
And Hala.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's another group in there somewhere, too. I don't know what their name is, but the Dead Meow 5, they're clearly the strength of the whole team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It all kind of revolves around them.
Oh, Cappy, see? See, this is how you get out of the sus category.
Okay, get off the sus list.
You're
there you go. Look
out.
How quickly that happened.
See,
no,
that's quick recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So right, how do you get in and out of the sus list?
Good question. Solid question.
I mean, Laura's
question.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah, so you're the
no,
gatekeeper.
No, I'm not. I'm just.
Well, I mean, you took him out, so how does he get in and out? It just depends on an opinion?
I don't know. Today, yes.
So,
I'm a girl,
so it's
man.
A moving target.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm I just a woman. Need to understand. We change our minds very, very much.
Hey, by the way, don't change your mind on this. We're counting down the days to our All-Star Friday night event, which is in 9 days. Join the 710 crew at the West Covina Sports Complex on Friday, July 15th to watch the Wiffle Ball Bash and All-Star Softball game presented by Coors Light. All our shows will be broadcasting live beginning at 10 a.m. all the way till 7 p.m. Everyone in attendance will have a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic plus other secret prizes. 710 All-Star Friday night is open to the public, but if you want to get on our VIP guest list, text the word STAR, S-T-A-R, to 40705. That's the word STAR to 40705. Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all summer long. So
I can attest to that, by the way, because I probably had about 5 Coors Lights Saturday afternoon. The sun was beating down on me. I was hanging out by the beach, and I was just putting down some Coors Lights.
Yeah.
So it was keeping me cool.
Okay. Now, Bergman, I feel like this is like part of the course with you. So I text Martin Jarman and say, hey, we're calling you later. You know, all good, no problem. And now you call him, he's not picking up the phone.
Maybe it is just me.
I'm going to try and see if he answers.
Okay, maybe you can do it. But either way, like, this is one guy, though, that I would hope would answer. Because I love Martin Jarman.
Yeah.
I think he's been doing a fantastic job at UCLA. The second he got there, he started making good moves. So he got us into the Big Ten. He's bringing the two HBCUs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama State, and I think it's South Alabama. I don't remember what the other school was. But mm-hmm. bringing their whole band and everything, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So I love what he's doing.
Yeah. And he clearly saved UCLA athletics, so there's that.
He did. Yeah, he also got us the Jordan brand.
Right.
It's huge.
Yeah, no more Under Armour.
Yeah. Under Armour was a bad, bad situation.
It was bad? Really? It was.
They tried to get out of it, and like, there was just it was a big old mess.
I mean, I'm not an Under Armour person. I have like a few like shorts that somebody gave me. Like they were like free, but like they're fine, I guess. I don't have any Under Armour sneakers, though.
Maybe this is why there aren't guests on Mason in Ireland, because when Fergie goes to put them on the air, they
very
don't
well
answer.
Could be. Very yeah. well could be.
I mean, is that possible?
Yeah.
Everything is possible, Cappy.
Yeah, it's all out there. It's all on the table. Everything's a possibility. That's true.
It is a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, in the interim, let's talk Dodgers then real quick. Hey, the Dodgers are starting to roll here, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Ryan Pepiot, right? That's how you say his name?
Yeah, Ryan Pepiot, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic yesterday.
Sure was.
You know, now Justin Turner and Max Muncy, who started off slow, are heating
That's
up.
The key. That's the key right there. You
Is
just
the key?
Said. You just
right
said.
Right there?
Right there. Max Muncy.
Yeah.
That's the key. Okay. See, earlier in the year, remember when people were like, well, Max Muncy, he's not performing. You know, man, maybe you got to do something about it. Maybe you got to sit him down. Think about that a little bit. It's like, no.
Well, you couldn't send him down. He's a Rule 5 guy.
Not send him, sit him.
Oh.
What I'm saying is that you got to have patience with certain guys who've already proven to you what they are, and you got to let them work back to what they were, particularly when a guy is coming off an injury and a position change, et cetera, et cetera. And now that Max Muncy is a guy who you can count on again, to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why the Dodgers are, as you describe them, starting to roll. I'm a Max Muncy fan.
Yeah, once he went down, like he just needed a little extra time after he had the injury from the year before, and now he's starting to hit better. He got on the base 4 times yesterday, and the biggest part of all of that from him getting on base yesterday was the walks. He's walking again, which is the biggest part of his game. So it was nice, really nice to see.
Look, I just think that now all of a sudden, I mean, they're in first place. They have the best record in the National League. They are now finding themselves in a position where, you know, where we expected them to be, basically, I guess.
Right, but hold on. Here's what else is happening. Not only are the Dodgers in first place and best record, et cetera, you got to remember they're weathering a storm as well. And by weathering the storm of Walker Buehler's injury and Mookie, who was out for just a little bit, and we mentioned how Muncy wasn't right early on, now you got Chris Taylor with a foot issue. I mean, there are things going on, and yet this team is still finding ways to win. Whereas the Giants, who shocked the world last year, they're back to being who you probably thought they were going to be, and they're 10.5 games back. And let's face it, after smacking the Padres around for 3 out of 4, and then the Padres go home and lose 2 straight to Seattle, I mean, right now, the Dodgers are not just in first place. They're in comfortable control of the division as of today.
And that's what it was supposed to be, right? They were supposed to be a team that was winning this division by 10 games, and that's what they're doing. It's really weird because you look over at the Yankees, and the Yankees are just flying by everybody with that short porch in right field. They're so good. It's out of control. But like Clinton was saying on the other show, all they do is hit home runs and walk. So that's kind of a fake situation where that's not going to hold up in the postseason. But the fact is that we're seeing what they're doing.
Oh, I don't know. They're pitching pretty well, too.
They are pitching very well. But basically what I'm saying, though, is that we see, as Dodger fans, as LA fans, we see what the Yankees are doing in the AL and just running away with everything and saying, we're supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be running away with it. We're supposed to be, you know, 50 games or 60 wins already, just like the Yankees. And it's not happening. So you think there's something wrong. But they won 50. They've won 50 games.
There's nothing wrong.
There's 51 and 29 injuries.
Right. Their winning percentage is 64%. There is nothing wrong. Well, with
the closer
the Dodgers
situation is not
and even the closer situation hasn't derailed what these guys have already done. It's probably likely to be a position that they're going to have to try and upgrade at some point. But again, it's kind of like having this confidence in Max Muncy based on who he's always been. I don't have the same confidence in Craig Kimbrell at this stage of his career. They might. I don't. But still, it hasn't killed them in any way. As bad or as average as he has been. So there is really nothing wrong with the Dodgers right now. Could a couple places be upgraded? Sure, why not?
Yeah, situation is a disaster.
Are they getting more pitching from guys that they weren't quite expecting it from? Yeah, they are. You know, but still, things are all good in Dodger land right now.
So you were talking about the closer situation. I know you liked Yency Almonte. I still don't think he's the right guy just yet, Sedano. But what do you think of this? Let's say their pitching staff is going okay, and they're pretty much healthy. Besides, you know, Walker Buehler not coming back yet. Dustin May comes back in around August.
Oh, I'd take him as the closer.
Yeah, would you put him as a closer? That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, dude throws 100 miles an hour.
I don't think Gratterall is the answer either, though.
I don't think Gratterall is the
answer.
I mean,
I know he got the save yesterday, but I don't think he – I mean, he's been a little bit of a roller coaster at times, too, this year.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know, though, about Dustin May coming back off of Tommy John surgery and going into the closer role where, you know, you're going to have to pitch on consecutive days and the warm-up routine that you have to have, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm not so sure – based on the injury, if that's the role. I'm not saying it's impossible, hardly. Like Dustin May a lot, but I don't know if you take a guy fresh off Tommy John in rehab and put him in that role.
No, I mean, I think it's a good point. I just kind of put him in a situation where he doesn't have to use as much going over 5-6 innings and throwing 100 pitches coming off of the injury. If he has 20 pitches, kind of like bullpen sessions, maybe you don't pitch him on back-to-back days. I don't know. I just think it's something that you can work with. They did a lot with Urias 2 years ago. So, I mean, it's something to do that's not Craig Kimbrell, because he's been a disaster.
He's not good. He's just not good anymore.
No. Agreed.
Yeah,
that's why I don't understand.
It's been a long time, by the way. I mean, Craig Kimbrell, I'm trying to think of. I mean, he's been everywhere in his career. But what year was it where the last time you're like, wow, Craig Kimbrell is really one of the top closers in baseball?
Atlanta. Which,
how many
year,
how many years ago?
Know. Yeah, it's been a couple. Because he was in San Diego, right?
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, he was in San Diego. He was also, like, he pitched well with the Cubs
for
a little bit.
Right, the Cubs, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 2014 is when he left Atlanta.
Yeah.
He was with Boston for a couple of years as well.
Yeah, he bounced around because he's just not the same guy. He pitched well, you know, against the Dodgers, but for the most part.
Yeah, once you're a closer and you're bouncing around a bunch of places, that's never a good sign.
Agreed.
Because if you're good, people are holding on to you because there's so much volatility when it comes to closers that if you got a guy that's actually good, you ain't letting that guy walk.
No, and that's why when Doc said, he's like, oh, he's earned that right. What right did he earn as a Dodger?
Yeah. Oh, well, look right. at you. I love how you stood up like that to him. Stood up to Doc. Why didn't you stand up to Mason and Ireland like that?
I go full heel against Doc, but I don't do it against Mason and Ireland.
Right. He got to see Mason and Ireland every day. You don't have to see Doc Roberts.
Exactly.
You don't have to see him.
We're not the Dodger station. It's okay.
You can say what you want then.
Exactly.
No problem, pal.
Coming up next, there's some breaking news that I just know. Well, maybe not breaking. But there's a story that just popped up about this whole Big Ten move. Cappy, you may be onto something. I'll say that. And Brian Windhorst kind of giving us some thoughts about LeBron's future as a Laker. It may be, spoiler alert, something you've heard here. We'll get to some of that coming up. Stick around. 710 ESPN. Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Is this the Beyonce song that Russ was singing when he opted in to his $47 yeah. million mm-hmm. deal with the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, George, the whole discussion yesterday about Jeannie's tweet, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that totally disagree with me that say she's not talking to LeBron. She's talking to Russell Westbrook.
No, she's not.
I don't think so either.
She's not.
I don't think so.
I don't believe. I don't believe. Listen, right now, they are all in on, like, putting their arms around Russell Westbrook. I mean, did you hear Darvin Ham? Like, I that's why I don't believe it.
Yeah, I know. So everybody who was coming at me yesterday going, you know what, dude, it's just lazy and it's easy to assume that she's talking to LeBron versus people coming at me going, no, dude, she is talking about Russell Westbrook. Because when you think about who was a more selfish, less team-oriented sort of personality, it was Russ. And then he's singing that song the day he's opting in, like, you won't break my soul, you won't break my soul. And she's talking to Russ. I'm like, listen, you guys can tell me I'm wrong all day long. Maybe
why
I
did
am.
You make Beyonce Bob Dylan is my question.
You don't break my soul, you don't break my soul.
It's just mean to Beyonce.
Is it?
A little bit.
I don't even understand. Like, why
what's up, bae? What's up, girl? So, okay, look, you guys may think that she's talking to Russ. I don't. I think she was talking to LeBron. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't believe she's talking to Russ. I mean, Bergman, how did you interpret it since we have you here?
Yeah, I actually agree with Cap. Wow. I think she was talking to I think she was talking to LeBron.
Did you say you actually agree with Cap and then you had like a comma?
I've heard things you've said about me on the air too, Cap. Don't you worry. I listen to this show. But no, I think I'm just kidding.
That's sus.
Am I on the sus list? That's how we get on the sus list. No, I thought, look, she mentioned Kobe. So there was a reason that you mentioned Kobe. And so I think it was aimed a little bit at LeBron, just being like, Kobe would have had my back. Kobe would have come up and done and talked to people for me and would have been there for me. And that's not what LeBron is doing. So I thought it was a little bit of a shot at LeBron.
Right. But my point on that.
Okay. Or a shot.
My point on that is this. Do you not know who you got into business with? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, sure. But like
he has been very, I mean, historically, he's always been like, hey, man, this is about players. OK, not the organization. Like, we control our destiny and we're going to control it. When we have the power, we're going to flex. And that's what he does.
And that's totally
and
fair.
She in some ways may have even given him more power or more control over her franchise. So now she's looking at him going, you know, I gave you all this power and you told me you were going to get me all these championships and we've got one, which is nice in the bubble season. But
well, by the way, they would have had none had he not arrived.
100% fantastic point. Totally right on. That's true. I can live with that. But all I'm saying is that she, if I'm right, which I'm like 73% sure I'm right. Okay, I'm leaving a
73%.
Little 83%. 85.
Right?
Yeah, 85. Go higher.
85.
Go higher.
Can you give me 85? 85, 90.
Okay.
90. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So let's just go with 90 then. Now we'll go on the high end. Thank you for boosting my numbers, Laura, by 17 points.
Yeah.
Off the sus list.
If I'm 90% right that she's talking to LeBron James, well, you know, listen, she has a lot of, you know, blame herself. She got into business, as you point out, George, with somebody who was going to deliver championships, who's delivered one, who's been hurt a lot. Who brought in a player last year that everybody would like to get rid of, including probably LeBron right now. And so, listen, she gave him even more control than he had when they combined forces.
Yeah. And by the way, he has control of his own destiny at the moment. And remember what I talked about with you, right? We had the reporting that said that LeBron is going to wait to see what the draft and free agency brings before deciding to commit. And by the way, he doesn't have to commit on August 1st. That's just the first day that they can offer him an extension. So Brian Windhorst was on Get Up this morning and was asked about LeBron's future, I guess, at the moment. And Laura, if we have that sound, let's hear what Brian had to say this morning on Get Up on ESPN.
He is not extension eligible until next month. But obviously, he is watching very closely what the Lakers do. You're not going to hear us talking a whole lot about the Lakers. And they will sign guys, but we're not expecting impactful names. They've got a basically bargain bin shop. And so the real question is, will LeBron look at this Lakers team? He can extend for 2 years and $100 million. I mean, he's at the point where he's going to get $50 million a year if he extends. That is not anything to sneeze at. And so will he extend and commit to this Lakers team? Will he not extend because he's not sure he wants to commit to this Lakers team? Or will he let it go just to find out whether the Lakers can make maneuvering? So Russell Westbrook's contract is going to be expired after next year. If LeBron lets his contract expire, the Lakers could have cap space, and he could do what James Harden is doing, which is lower his salary to help the team. But we'll see.
So basically everything I told you over the last couple of weeks about him, Brian Windhorst just laid it out for you in a 90-second clip.
Yeah, and he pretty much told you this. LeBron James is 100%, not 90, not 73, 100% in total control of the situation. He's in control, right? I mean, nobody has any leverage. LeBron has all the leverage. I can choose to play on this current contract. I can choose to sign the extension. I can wait and see to find out what's going to happen. I can also not necessarily tell you what my plan is. And then at the end of the year, when Russ is gone, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what a great guy I am. I'm actually going to come back and resign and take less. Well, could you tell us that now so we kind of all are on the same page with what we're doing?
No.
Which means if you got to
wait. The answer is no. Why? Then, he doesn't have to do any of that.
Correct. So therefore, he is in 100% control.
Yeah.
But isn't that how NBA players work in general? Most of the time, the player has the control.
Yeah. Especially the star players,
right.
For sure.
We're talking about three different options here. Don't sign, sign, eventually become a free agent, and sign back for possibly less. But however LeBron decides it's going to go, that's how it's going to go. And
correct.
I could imagine Jeannie sitting in her place at 11:11 on Sunday night being so frustrated and annoyed that she decides to put this tweet out. There must have been something that was provocative that led to the tweet. But as long as it's cryptic like that, she has left it open to our interpretation. That's mine.
And what I told you yesterday is I think it's multi-pronged, right? It's the stuff we've just discussed. I've told you, she's frustrated at the way the fan base has turned on her. And this is just my guess. I don't know that because I don't talk to her. But I see what the nasty stuff people write her. And, dude, it's just natural human reaction to look at that stuff and be like, dude, there's only so much I can do. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and yes, you're right, Cappy. There's probably more that they could have done. I'm not disputing that. But I'm just saying this is, like, I would imagine her having a very human moment and being like, come on, man. Like, really? Like, this is not what I expected, you know? Like, and just being frustrated in general at the reaction she gets at the Kyrie situation. And the third part, as I mentioned, is the Kyrie situation. The Nets don't want Russell Westbrook unless they're going to be incentivized. That I can tell you with fairly certain assurances.
You dropping a morsel on us right now?
I'm just telling you that the Nets ain't going to take Russell Westbrook without anything to sweeten the pot.
So fine. Let me ask you this, Sedano. So why should the Lakers, though, kind of bid against themselves? Nobody else wants Kyrie Irving. There's nobody. And if the Nets don't want to sign or trade him, then he's going to stay. But why should the Lakers give more when there's nobody else bidding against them? It's essentially Rob Pelinka saying.
Let me answer this for you, George. Let me answer this for you. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here's why, Bergie.
Okay.
Because George has yelled and screamed at me about this. You ready?
Okay.
because the Lakers have no other option. In other words, if they don't get Kyrie, they can forget competing for a championship. Whereas if they do get Kyrie, then they are going to be competing for a championship. That's, again, I'm answering for George. George, you see this? I'm role-playing. I'm you right now. This is the only chance the Lakers have is to get Kyrie. And as George yelled and screamed at me and tried to drill that into my head, you know what my answer for that was?
What?
Are you out of your mind? Everybody, your only chance is Kyrie. If you're putting all your eggs in the Kyrie Irving basket, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I'm telling you is if they don't, they're screwed.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a catch 22, right?
They don't, right?
Yeah, no matter what you do. But here's the thing. Like, if they give both the 27 and the 29 pick, which what seems like it seems to be that they want both, then you have absolutely nothing when they leave. You have no asset whatsoever outside of Kyrie Irving, which we don't know what Kyrie Irving is actually going to do at any moment of his life. And Anthony Davis, who we've talked about and you've talked about many times, is not very healthy very often. So after that, you have no assets, period.
So what are you supposed to do? Just let it ride?
Well, I mean, there's only so many choices that you can do. It's just more so of like you can't just give everything that you have just to have a chance for 1 year. There has to be a little bit moving forward.
Let me answer. I'm going to be George now. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Can he be you afterwards too?
Yeah. I'm going to be back to being George here for a second.
Okay.
You're in the LeBron business, which means you're into trying to win now. So forget about the future, forget about assets, forget about what you might have or what you might not have. You got into business with LeBron, you have to be about winning now, and you'll have to sacrifice your future to accommodate LeBron today.
Wow, Cappy, you do listen.
That was a really good Sedano.
It is remarkable that I am actually not only listening but remembering, because, Berg, I don't know if you heard this yesterday, but George and I went to a commercial break, right?
Okay.
And George says to me, as soon as we go to a commercial break off air, he says, hey, do me a favor. Everything you just said, repeat it to me because I want to kind of go into that. To which I, of course, said, what did I say? I don't have any idea what I just said. None, zero.
He completely forgot. I'm Greg, when I tell you that it was literally 3 seconds later when I said that to him. And I'm like, you know what, Laura, can you just cut it up and play it? Because it's going to be a lot easier to just do it that way.
It actually worked out because it was at the top of the hour.
Oh, so you could get it right away,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That is such a – that's why you're host of the year, Cap.
Is that
right
where
it is, Cap?
Is that it, really?
That's it. That was it right there.
That's
and
why.
The singing.
So, anyway, the Lakers don't have a lot of options.
No, they don't. You have to start choosing of what you're going to do. I mean, yes, getting rid of Russell Westbrook makes sense. Get rid of him. It's the right choice. But you're bringing
in Kyrie Irving also wants to get paid, man. You know what I mean? Like, so he's going to play nice.
For a year, but then you're going to give him some big contract, and then he's not going to play nice once he gets the money.
Well, but if he's here, you're going to get LeBron here for longer, and then LeBron knows how to deal with Kyrie.
I get it, but like Kyrie, LeBron at 34, 33 is different than LeBron at 39, 40.
Okay. I mean, yes.
Anybody.
So you're saying not to sign LeBron either?
No, obviously you try and sign LeBron. But it's at some point, things are going to have to start turning over.
And okay. Well, but again, to my point, which is the one Cappy just reiterated.
Very well, actually.
Thank you very much. See, George, I listened to you really, really carefully.
I mean, not really. Most days you don't.
I mean, some stuff when you're talking about stuff, sometimes I just tune out. But
I've drilled it into your head so many times.
You yelled at me. You screamed at me like I was a
child. I did. I yelled at you because it was like, mother bleeper, come on. How many times do I got to repeat myself here? So it's like dealing with my children, you know?
Right, but just imagine. Think about what you're saying. The Lakers' only chance at a championship.
This, right now?
Is to get Kyrie Irving.
This season? Absolutely.
I'm letting that marinate, everybody.
I'm just saying, like, do you have another option for them to win a championship this year?
Yeah. I have another option.
What's that? So tell us on the other side, Cappy.
I got to write it down so I remember.
Yeah, write it down so you remember what the hell you actually said. Yeah. All right. Laura, make sure to cut it up.
Another option.
All right. We're back in 2 minutes.